The second case for oral argument this morning is Finnemans, David McConney are the appellants, and Illinois Partnership was the appellee after what we were told this morning, probably not anymore, and the Arnoldies are also appellees. For the appellant, Finnemans, we have Mr. James Hurley, an attorney from Rapid City. And for the appellee, Arnoldies, we have Mr. Rob Schaub, who is representing the Arnoldies. And I understand you'll be speaking for 18 minutes once again.
Yes, sir.
All right. And Mr. Mayrose, you have the 2 minutes should you choose to use it. Okay. With that, again, once the presence of Mr. Vince Roach, an attorney from Sioux Falls. Mr. Hurley, you have 20 minutes, sir, and you may proceed.
As the Chief Justice says, I'm Jim Hurley, Management Counsel and Finnemans Law from Rapid City. I represent David and Connie Finneman. They are farmers. They have been farmers all of their lives. They have worked the land producing wheat, sunflowers, corn, and other crops. Over the years of farming, they acquired 7,500 acres of deeded land, 3,000 acres where they live, located just north of the Rapid City Airport, and 4,500 acres further east, northeast. In 1996, they purchased about 6,950 acres in Meade County from an L&L partnership on a contract for deed. And in 1999, they purchased an additional 2,250 acres from L&L on a contract for deed. And those two contract for deeds are the subject of this suit. All payments on the contract for deeds plus real estate taxes over the years, Finnemans have paid in a total amount of just over $4 million to keep these contracts for deeds going on the 9,200 acres of contract for deed land. The real estate taxes on the 7,500 acres deed land and the 9,200 acres of contract for deed land were about $50,000 a year, and over the years they have paid real estate taxes of over $500,000. In 2010, a balloon payment came due on the Equitable mortgage that was granted by the L&L partnership on the contract for deed land. And that balloon payment could not be paid. Finnemans could not make that payment, but they made a partnership called Rock Creek Farms with Warren Anderson. The Finnemans put in their land into the partnership, 16,700 acres, and Warren Anderson put in money to pay off the creditors and save the equity in their land. There is substantial equity in the contract for deed land. The value of the 9,200 acres of productive ag land and the valuable mineral interest is about $9 million today. In March of 2010, L&L Partnership filed this foreclosure action on the contract for deed land under SDCL 21-50. The trial was held in this case, civil number 10-316, July 25th, 2011, to foreclose on the two contracts for deed. At the conclusion of the trial, the court decided from the evidence that the amount of money necessary for the Finnemans and their assignee Rock Creek Farms to redeem the 9,200 acres under the contract for deeds. The court then said, quote, I think it's appropriate that redemption to be in 30 days after the Supreme Court decides a Rabo case. This court decided the Rabo case March 13, 2012. The period of redemption then expired April 12, 2012. The Finnemans and Rock Creek Farms tendered $856,803.99 on April 12, 2012 and redeemed the two contract for deeds, tendered to L&L for redemption, which stopped the interest accruing. Arnoldies then paid L&L later $769,259.18 April 27, 2012. 15 days late and $87,544 short. Arnoldies then tailed that up later, paying $91,701.64 more on May 18, 2012, 34 days late. Arnoldies had no statutory right to redeem, but they intended to redeem, but they came in late and short, and those two matters still sit. The Rock Creek Farms submits that it has redeemed and is under the numbers the determined by the trial court, the dollars, and they're entitled to a deed to the contract for deed land. At the conclusion of the trial, July 25th, 2011.
Now, wait a second. You lost me there. You're claiming that Rock Creek Farms redeemed?
Yes, sir.
When and how?
They redeemed by tendering the money to L&L as the court instructed.
Oh, okay.
30 days after this court had decided the Ravel matter, which came in at April 12th, which everybody agrees.
But then there were subsequent redemptions after that by others.
Just one.
Well, which action are we in? Which action are you talking about now?
This is the contract for deed action. Which is Civil 10-316, and Judge James Anderson was our trial judge, and at the and he held a trial, a foreclosure trial, and on that at that foreclosure trial, the transcript shows at the end of the foreclosure trial, he said that I think it's appropriate that the redemption be made within 30 days after this court decides the Robert case, which brought it in at April 12th. And Rock Creek Farms and the Fittemans did redeem in the exact dollar amounts that were decided by Judge Anderson to L&L on that date and made redemption. Arnoldies came later trying to make a redemption, but they were short and they were late, some 34 days. So we submit that we have met the requirement of the trial court, and we did redeem in the correct amount. And that stopped the interest. The amount was tendered to L&L, and that was redemption. Tendered was $856,803.99, as determined by the trial court, and it was paid April 12, 2012.
All right, Mr. Hurley, I'm trying to figure out what interest L&L still has in this action. You said that they were a partner in Rock Creek by contributing land. However, there is a quitclaim deed, two quitclaim deeds in the file, where L&L transferred all of their interest to Rock Creek.
Fittemans, I think.
Or Fittemans, rather.
Right.
So what interest do Fittemans still have in this action?
Rock Creek is a general partnership, and it started out at 66% of the value, 66% of the partnership in the name of the Fittemans, and the balance in the name of Warren Anderson. Warren Anderson's percentage, of course, increased as it went along, and he put money in to satisfy creditors and save the equity in the land. But Rock Creek Farms does represent the interest of Fittemans in that sense.
Well, there's also a statement of dissolution where it states that the, and it's dated April 13th, 2010. It states that David M. Fittemann and Connie S. Fittemann are disassociated from the partnership.
That's correct, and as time went along and these events transpired, both partners have gone their separate ways, as we see here in these appeals. We filed an appeal, and they filed an appeal, and we're arguing separately today. But their interests are still shared, and their interests are still the same. As we heard Steve Sanford argue this morning, they're here trying to save the equity in the land.
So you disagree with nothing Mr. Sanford said this morning?
Pardon me?
You disagree with nothing Mr. Sanford said this morning?
Correct, Chief Justice.
All right.
So do Fittemans still have an interest in Rock Creek?
Yes.
That's not before us today on what those interests are or how they're determined, correct?
Correct. And that's changed as things have gone along. And as the value of the land has changed and as the amount of money that Warren Anderson put into the project to save the equity has increased, so those interests have changed. But both parties are still very interested and very much care about saving their equity in the contract for deed land, as evidenced by the, as we just covered here, as evidenced by the amount of money that went into the redemption, April 12th of 2012. That amount of money is very substantial. Most of that came from Warren Anderson. So they were still working together April 12th to save the equity in this land.
Well, the real party in interest at this point is the partnership.
Yes.
And so what argument do you have different than what the partnership presented this morning? Do you have anything to argue different?
Well, the thing that occurs to me is that the Rabo case with Judge Delaney was strictly under Chapter 21-52. There is nothing in any of the testimony. There is nothing in the judgment, either of the judgments, January 15, 2010, or the one that came later, the revised one, that has anything to do with the contract for deeds.
It does strike or foreclose both Finneman and Rock Creek from exercising any redemption rights with respect to the contract for deed. That's what the judgment says in Rabo 1 or Rabo 2.
If that were the case, then it would be unnecessary for Judge James Anderson to have this case, which was filed to foreclose the two contract for deeds. And under this case, number 316, the complaint says this is under South Dakota compiled laws 21-50, which is different, of course. 2150 is a foreclosure of real estate contracts. And we went through a trial there. Judge Anderson ruled that our rights were foreclosed. And if that's the case, then it had to be necessary to go through that trial. The Rabo case did not foreclose those contract for deeds. We went through a trial. Judge Anderson found out and determined how many dollars it took to redeem and set the limit, the 30 days for redemption, which we did. We redeemed. We paid or tendered that much money to get those contract for deeds redeemed and to pay that amount to L&L. And so my point different is that the Rabo case was strictly under Chapter 2152. And as the court knows, it's very different because under 2152, a junior creditor, a junior judgment holder, like Ann Arnoldy, can redeem subject to, in 2152.7, the owner's final right of redemption. But in 2150 that we went through with Judge Anderson, the junior judgment holder that has no right of redemption.
All right. Mr. Hughes, the mortgage, the interest that was mortgaged by the Finnemans was their interest in the contract for deed, correct?
Yes.
So under 2152, wasn't that the interest that was then, isn't that correct, that interest was the interest in the contract for deed that was foreclosed upon in the Rabo action?
To the extent that that is what happened, and that is what the judgment states that was signed by Judge Delaney.
All right. Well, then the purchasers of that, or the Arnoldies in this case, didn't they take those interests in the contract for deed that were foreclosed on in the 2152 action?
If that was the case, then this case that we're working on now, that was Civil 10-316, Judge James Anderson made findings of fact, conclusions of law, made a judgment of foreclosure after going through a full trial and determined that the amount necessary for redemption, all of those things were not decided by Judge Delaney in the Rabo case. When that was finished up, there was no determination of how many dollars it would take to redeem the contract for deed. and there was no deadline set for doing so. Judge Anderson determined in Civil 10-316, after hearing all the evidence and the CPAs and getting to the dollars and everything else, he determined here the amount of dollars it would take to redeem, and he also said that I think it would be appropriate that redemption be done in 30 days after this case decides the rental case. So there was two things missing from the rental case, three things. That is a foreclosure of the contract for deeds under 20-50, which was not the situation in the rental case. And number two is determining the amount of money that had to be paid to redeem the contract for deeds under 21-50. And number three, the time for redemption and who could redeem. When you go to 2150-3, the court shall have the power in its judgment to fix the time within which the party or parties in default must comply with the terms of the contract on their part. Now here, Arnoldies certainly aren't the party in default. There is under contract for deed statutes, there's only one party, well, there's two parties, the vendor and the vendee, but there's only one party that's in default, and that's the vendee. And the statute says that we have so much time to come up with these dollars and redeem. There is no right for Ann Arnoldy, a junior judgment holder, to redeem at all. And that is the difference between the two cases. And it was necessary for Judge Anderson to go through the trial and determine these things because they were not spoken to. There was no issue of it in the Robbo case.
What you're saying is then that even though there was a foreclosure in the Rabo case, even after that case is all over, the foreclosure proceedings are done, a sheriff's deed's issued, that your client still had a property interest in the property. That's why this second action was initiated. That, if I'm hearing you right, that's what you're claiming. And it doesn't seem to me that can be correct.
Well, Judge Anderson, in his writings, foreclosed out Finneman's and Rock Creek under the contract for deed. If that had been done by Judge Delaney in the Robbo case, we wouldn't have needed this case. But this case is 10-316. Judge Delaney did make that finding. He did foreclose. And then he did what was not done in the Robbo case. He determined the amount of money it took to redeem, which Judge Delaney never approached that. It wasn't an issue. No testimony was taken on. And the amount of time necessary. And he was filing 20-50-3.
Of course, in the 2152 case, all you got to do is to redeem is all you got to do is pay more than whoever's senior before you, and you have a right to redeem. So you don't need to go through all that stuff that Judge Anderson did.
You're right. They're two very different set of statutes, and both have served us well over time. 2152 is a 1949 statute, but these contract for deed statutes, 20-50-3, entitled Foreclosure of Real Estate Contracts, have served us well since 1913. If what Arnoldy says is true, we have completely rewritten 21-50-3. And now junior creditors can redeem, and it's just like redemption from sale on execution of foreclosure. If that's the case, we don't need this chapter at all. We'll just follow this one like mortgages all the time. But this one is on the books. It is the law. It's entitled Foreclosure of Real Estate Contracts, and it sets out some pretty straightforward things that must be done, especially in 21-50-3.
So your position would be that any time a creditor that's involved with a contract for deed, a judgment creditor would have to initiate two actions, a 2152 and a 2150, in order to get good title to property. Is that what you're saying?
That could be the case.
Well, is it, or it could be?
Well, it sure happened here. It sure happened here. And there are two different statutes.
But the legal question, is it required? I mean, to me, this is kind of a new thing. I've never heard of having to go through two foreclosures in order to get rights in a contract for deed.
Well, I would say that's not correct. If you have a mortgage, you would sure be wise to go like they did here with Rabo and file under 2152 and foreclose out that mortgage. If you have a contract for deed you want to foreclose off under South Dakota law, you would sure be wise to go under 21-50. Now, it would be possible to have those both under the same judge in the same proceeding. It didn't happen here because we had two different judges, two different cases, and that's how it happened. But in this case that we're working on now, Civil 10-316, which was Judge James Anderson's case, this was the statute we were going under, Chapter 21-50. And on an earlier question, well, was this on remand if this goes on and on? No, it does not, because we're under the same statute. We've already redeemed, but in the event we were going to have a period of time to complete redemption, we would just go under the same statute, and the court would just fix that time. The time shall be fixed within the parties in default, must comply with the terms and redeem.
Thank you, Counselor. Your time has expired.
Thank you.
Schaub, you have 18 minutes, sir.
My arguments presented earlier this morning would be the same for this appeal. I just want to discuss the sheriff's deed. You know, they challenged the sheriff's deed before Judge Delaney. You know, res judicata on that. But a sheriff's deed transfers whatever interest they have. So their argument essentially is that Arnoldies had the contract for deed and would be able to pay it off unless it's in default. And if it's in default, they don't get to pay it off. Somebody else gets to pay it off. That's essentially their argument, as I can tell. They somehow claim that right of redemption is separate from the rights in the contract. It's not. This morning, counsel for Rock Creek stated that Mayrose's brief, he talked about that, talked about all the problems of right of redemption. In his brief, he did say that Ann Arnoldy was entitled to redeem in LNL. This seems to be the third time we're talking about the same things. It seems that res judicata should apply at some point in time, but I just want to point out a misstatement in their reply brief. Fidelman's claim that they have equity because of these payments that were made to the receiver. There was an assignment of rents. The rents go to Rabo and to the other creditors. They do not go to Fidelman's. The Rabo judgment provided in paragraph 8 that pursuant to SDCL 21-47-17, neither this judgment nor such sheriff's sale shall be considered a satisfaction of the assignment of rents agreement under the mortgages. And there's also was an order enforcing appointment of receiver and assignment of rents. So their Fidelman's have no claim to them, any of the payments made to the receiver. If there are any other questions?
I have a question, Mr. Schaub. Okay, if you're correct and Rabo took care of everything, cleaned the slate, gave you all the rights in the property, then why was the 2150 action necessary? Why did Judge Anderson go through the exercise of figuring the right of the actual amount of the amount of redemption to, or not redemption, but the amount to cure the default in the contract?
It was because the L&L contract was in default. Therefore, under the sheriff's deed, Ann Arnold Lee received whatever interest Finneman's had, so Ann had a right to redeem it. The Robble foreclosure wiped out Finneman's Rock Creek and substituted Ann. And so Ann then could redeem an L&L. Does that address your question?
So you're saying that Arnoldy became essentially the contract vendee.
Correct.
At the end of the Rabel proceedings.
Yes, exactly, Your Honor.
Okay. Is that why Judge Anderson deferred to the Rabel judgment and said we'll finish up this case after Rabel?
Exactly.
Okay.
Any other questions from the bench? Okay, thank you. You're completed.
Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Mayrow, is there anything you wish to add from your last statement of last hour?
No, Your Honor, the prior argument applies to this case as well.
Very well. Well said.
Chief, this won't surprise you, but I have a question of Mr. Mayrow's.
Would you approach the bench? I guess you don't get off quite that easy. Justice Zinner has a question.
I'd like you to elaborate as well, since you initiated the action that we're here on today. The argument that Mr. Hurley made and that Mr. Schaub just responded to about why did you initiate the second action if the Rabel case essentially foreclosed all rights in the contract for deed. Why was it? Why did L&L start this 2150?
L&L, the Rabel foreclosure judgment, specifically provided that the L&L contract lands were superior, or that the Rabel mortgage was inferior to the interest in the contracts held by L&L. So L&L was not foreclosed out in the Rabel foreclosure action. L&L had L&L was the record owner of the real estate, and the contracts for deed, the foreclosure action on the contracts for deed were initiated because the amounts owing had ballooned and there was no payment. The contracts were in default, and so the only issue with respect to the parties here today was who was the vendee under the contract for deed. Was it Rock Creek? Was it Finneman? Was it Arnoldy's? And at the time of trial before Judge Anderson, all three showed up and
claiming they were the vendee.
Right. As a consequence, after the judgment was entered foreclosing on the contracts, determining the amounts owed, Judge Anderson determined that we would wait until this court's decision in Rabo, which we assumed would determine once and for all who was the vendee.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. You got your full 2 minutes.
Thank you.
Very well. Then we proceed with Mr. Hurley, who gets a 10-minute rebuttal.
Thank you, Chief Justice. Those are good questions, and of course, John's answer is good. L&L was not foreclosed out in the Rabel foreclosure action, and therefore the foreclosure action was, in fact, necessary. Counsel Schaub made a comment about income and whose was it. After this case began from January 1st of 2010 through June 1st of 2011, Finman's paid through their receiver to L&L $364,500 to reduce the L&L debt and to pay that up so that in redemption that would already be paid and would be paid down. This money was from Finman's and each of Rock Creek's farms and rent income. After the receiver ended June 1st of 2011, Arley's came in and took all the rent income from the contract for deeds for 2012, 2013, and the first half of 14, in an amount estimated at $875,000. These dollars should have been available to Rock Creek Farms to redeem the contract for deeds. The court, in allowing the Arnoldies to use and benefit from Finman and Rock Creek Farms' payments of $364,500, which reduced the amount of debt owed to L&L as determined by Judge Anderson, was, of course, prejudicial to Rock Creek Farms. The rent income from the land should have been Finneman's and Rock Creek Farms money to redeem the two contract for deeds. SDCL 21-5-3 does not permit a junior creditor such as Ann Arnoldy to redeem. She is not a party to the contract for deed. She only has a judgment, and she purchased against the Finnemans under 21-50. A judgment holder cannot redeem or cure the default. The trial court made an error of law in substituting Ann Arnoldy for the Finnemans and Rock Creek Farms in paragraph 12 of the judgment, and in providing in paragraph 6 that Ann Arnoldy has the sole right to redeem the contract for deed land. She was not a party to the contract for deeds, and under the statutes, chapter 21-50, she has no standing whatsoever to redeem. Only the party in default can cure by paying the redemption money. The trial court erred as a matter of law in deciding in paragraph 12 of the judgment the rights of Finneman's and Rock Creek Farms were extinguished by the sheriff's deed and the decision in Rabo. And the justice mentioned earlier a due process question there. That sheriff's deed was not presented to either of the judges involved in this case, to any of the parties.
Is there any procedure for doing that? What procedure are you talking about?
File a motion that says, Judge, may we procure a sheriff's deed and file it in this situation?
Every time a sheriff's deed is issued, there should be a motion to the court?
In this case, where we just heard how unclear it was, who was the vendee remaining in the contract for deeds, and who had the rights over in the foreclosure, the Rabo foreclosure case, we just heard that. In this situation, where everybody's, of course, involved, this was a deed that was obtained secretly from all of that. It was filed June 2.
It was subject to, it was issued due to an order and judgment of the court.
That's an argument.
I'm not making arguments.
No. I see. That is an argument. I think it could be a fact, I suppose. But the point is, if that was the case, then why did we have this case? Judge Anderson didn't view it that way. Judge Anderson viewed it as a quitclaim deed, subject to what there was, but he went ahead and had the trial, determined the figures, determined the amounts, and still had to decide then who is the vendee. Well, it's obvious under the contracts who the vendee is, and it isn't the judgment holder, Ann Arnoldy. The Rabo case was controlled by 2152, as we discussed, foreclosure mortgages. The sheriff deed filed June 2, 11, was a year before the foreclosure case that we're talking about here before Judge Anderson. That was not viewed as deciding all the issues. It was viewed as simply a sheriff's deed under the statute. By the Rabo court, and the Rabo sheriff's deed actually foreclosed out Finneman's and Rock Creek Farms of all rights under two contracts for deed, then this contract for deed foreclosure action 10-3316 would not have been necessary. Thus, the court's findings in this case in 37, 38, 39, and 41 are wrong as a matter of law, and they do not follow the foreclosure statute 21-50-3. Finding 43 is wrong as a matter of law to permit Ann Arnoldy's sole redemption of the contract for deed, is how it reads, and allow her to pay the lien of the United States, which was the lien of the Finnemans to pay. Under SDCL 21-50-3, she is not the party in default and cannot cure the default. If the rights of Finneman and Rock Creek Farms in the contract for deed were foreclosed out in the Rabo case by the Rabo judgment and the sheriff's deed June 2 of 11, then we certainly wouldn't have needed to go through this case. The court stated in number...
Ms. Mayro said they did because they hadn't been paid and there was a dispute about who the vendee was.
There was no dispute as who the vendee was or is. The contracts are in the evidence. There's two contracts. You can't find the name Arnoldy anywhere in them. It's L&L, and it's Dave and Connie Finneman.
Right. I should have said who has the rights as vendee following Rabo.
And that is determined by SDCL 21-50-3, which says the party in default. Well, there's only two parties to these contract for deeds, and neither of them are named Arnoldy. And the party in default is, of course, the Finnemans, and they assigned their rights to Rock Creek. And we went through this trial to find out how much money was owed, and we paid it by the deadline, which the Arnoldys did not. So we think it was pretty clear who the two parties in the contracts were. How in the world a junior judgment holder gets to be the vendee under these two contract for deeds is purely a mystery to me when I look at the statutes, unless we throw out Chapter 21-50 and just do away with it and go back to the mortgage foreclosure statutes, then, yeah, it probably follows that all right. But that isn't where we're at. We're foreclosing on contract for deeds. Only the party in default under that statute has the right to cure the default. In conclusion of law 13, 14, and 16, counsel for Arnoldy's in preparing the conclusion of law gave an Arnoldy additional unlimited time after April 12th of 2012 to redeem. And, of course, that violates the statute as well, which says that the court shall fix the time within which the redemption is to be made. David and County Finland and Rock Creek Farms, the parties in default, as provided in 2150-3, had already tendered the money, $856,803.99, to L&L on April 12th of 2012. And that was done. Thus, they should be issued the deed to the land. The Finnemans and their partnership, Rock Creek Farms, request that the judgment of foreclosure and findings of fact and conclusion of law in this case be reversed as contrary to the statutes, SDCL 21-50, and that the Finnemans and Rock Creek Farms be issued the deeds to the 9,200 acres of land in honor of the fact that they have paid the redemption amount that was set forth by Judge Anderson's. The Arnolds have tried to argue that Finnemans wanted to strip the lien of the United States on their land. This argument has no legal merit, as the court knows. When the owner redeems, all liens remain attached to the land, as established by several cases, notably the Donovan case, Donovan v. U.S., which the court is aware of, and it's in our case. The errors of the tribal court allowing of the trial court allowing Ann Arnoldy to redeem caused Finnemans and Rock Creek Farms a huge loss. Under the trial court decision, they lose the $4 million that they've already paid since 1996. They also lose the payments of $365,000 made by the Finnemans through their receiver to L&L since this case began. And they also lost the rents off the 9,200 acres for 2012, 13, and the first half of 14, which the Arnoldys have taken in the estimated amount of $875,000, which should have been used by the could have been used by the Finnemans to redeem and pay off this contract much earlier. Under the trial court's decision that violates SDCL 21-50-3, the Arnoldys have reaped an unearned windfall of over $10 million. This result is not fair or equitable. It violates the statute 21-50 and should be reversed.
Thank you, counsel.
Any questions?
Your time has expired.
Thank you.
Thank you. Court will be in recess.